The text is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. I'm reading again from the New American Standard. You follow along in your Bible. Hear God's Word. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let's pray together. Father, again, thank you for your Word. We pray that you'd be pleased to bless us in and through it, that we might better understand this, your Word, and therefore live by it, we pray. In the good name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. When you read a text like this particular one, you are immediately drawn to the theme of combating the devil and the forces of evil and of darkness. And the question is, how do you combat the devil and the forces of evil and of darkness? Well, from this text, you would immediately say, well, you have to put on God's armor. And as you look at God's armor, having girded your loins with truth, you have to be steadfast in the truth. You have to put on the breastplate of righteousness. You must be steadfast in righteousness. You have to be firm in the gospel and know the gospel. You must have firm faith in Jesus Christ. Put on or hold the shield of faith and be capped off, if you will, with the gospel of salvation or the helmet of salvation. And as you think through those elements of the armor of God, perhaps you do tend to go in the direction of, well, these are things that I must do. And generally, I think this is how we approach this particular text, things that we must do. But I want to challenge you a little bit tonight with regard to that. Is it as much the things that you must do, or is it already the things that Christ has done that is related to us in this armor of God? So let's examine the text a little bit from that perspective, and I want you to notice a couple of things about the text. Verse 14, for example. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And of course, you have the picture in your mind of a warrior, and perhaps an old warrior with a girdle, a belt, maybe a steel belt, a bronze belt, a metal belt with a big buckle. You'll think of those wrestlers with the wrestling belt. And that's sort of the kind of picture that's being presented. The breastplate of righteousness, the armor with a breastplate. And so this is a warrior. that the Scriptures are speaking about. And the Apostle Paul is drawing from the pictures of those old warriors to present us this picture. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And of course, those old warriors didn't just wear sandals. They had a particular armor plate, often on the bottom and on their shins, to protect them from the blows of the enemy. And in addition, the shield of faith. We have a little guy in our household who loves a shield and a sword. He's into pirates. This isn't exactly the picture, but it's similar, all right. And so we have this picture of the shield that is presented. And of course, finally, in verse 17, this helmet that is put over the head. And again, as you contemplate these things, well, you do get the sense, do you not, that, you need to put on this girdle. This is something that you do. And you have to be clothed with this breastplate that protects your vital organs, as it were. And you do need to have the proper foot gear. And that shield is of immense importance that you will hold, because you do want to be able to ward off the fiery darts of the evil one. And of course, again, putting on that helmet. Again, it does tend to take you in the direction of things that you do. But also, as you look at the text, I don't know if it's this way in your Bible or not, but in my Bible, in this New American Standard Version, the quotations from the Old Testament are all in small caps, so you can pick out the quotations from the Old Testament. And if that's not the case in your Bible, you probably have some side references. For example, in verse 14 again, having girded your loins with truth, it comes out of the Old Testament. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, it comes out of the Old Testament, from the book of Isaiah. You may have that side reference in your Bible. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace also comes out of the Old Testament. It's a word from the Old Testament to which Paul is referring. So he's not just speaking, you see, about something that you need to do, but the Apostle Paul is actually digging back into the Old Testament and dredging up some information out of the Old Testament that he thinks is pertinent for you and for me to understand. The shield of faith is also something he gets out of the Old Testament. And the helmet of salvation. Well, given that understanding, we better go back and look at the Old Testament a little bit. Don't you think that would be helpful? So let's go back and let's start out with Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. And look at verse 17 in Isaiah 59. He put on righteousness like a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head. You see, the apostle is going back to this text. Keep your finger in Isaiah 59 and go back to a little bit more familiar text in Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11 is clearly a text about the coming Messiah. Notice verse 5 in Isaiah chapter 11. Also, righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. So clearly the Apostle Paul is gleaning the information he's giving to us and giving to the Ephesian church from the Old Testament. Go back to Isaiah 59, if you would, please, now. And I want to go earlier in Isaiah 59 and read a little bit from Isaiah 59 so we get the context, so that you can see what's happening in Isaiah 59. Let's go back to verse 9. Therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, but behold darkness. For brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope along the wall like blind men. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday as in the twilight. Among those who are vigorous, we are like dead men. Well, there's a problem. You would gather that from the text, would you not? There's a serious problem. There's a problem with the lack of justice and righteousness in the land of Israel. And Isaiah is pointing this out. And there appears to be blindness in the land. And this certainly was a difficulty among the leaders of Israel. They were blind guides, as Jesus refers to them. Verse 11, all of us growl like bears and moan sadly like doves. And you can hear the hoo, hoo. Can't say it very well, can I? Hoo, hoo, hoo of the dove in the distance. You know, just a moan. We hope for justice, but there is none. Some of us, when we look at our own country and some of the things that happen in civil government, we have the same reaction. We long for justice and for truth. All of us growl like bears and moan sadly like doves. We hope for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities. And you can think of ancient Israel in the depths of depravity and sin, transgressing and denying the Lord, and turning away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt. I was at a reunion last night, and I talked to one of my old high school classmates. Well, there were a bunch of them there, and this particular one I sought out, and as we got into the discussion a little bit, he said, Saturday nights are not good for me because I'm a church organist. But before that, all kinds of unseemly speech and expletives were coming out of his mouth. All this vile language. And then he says, oh, by the way, I'm a church organist. But sadly, too often, that's the way it is. That's what happens in this world. Transgressing and denying the Lord. Taking God's name in vain and then saying, well, I'm a church organist. And turning away from our God. Speaking oppression and revolt. Conceiving in and uttering from the heart lying words. I just, in this political season, I just shake my head. I don't know how you are, but I shake my head at the bold-faced deception that's put out with the face of truth. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far away. For truth has stumbled in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking, and he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. You get those words? That the fella or the gal that turns away from evil makes himself or herself a prey. What kind of foolish person are you? Now look at the very next lines in the text. Now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in His sight that there was no justice. And He saw that there was no man, and was astonished that there was no one to intercede. That God looked, and He looked down, in this case, in ancient Israel, and there was no one. There was no one to come to the aid of the people. There was no one to intercede. Now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in His sight, that there was no one, there was no justice, and He saw that there was no man, and was astonished that there was no one to intercede. And then His own arm, you see those next words? Then His own arm brought salvation to Him, and His righteousness upheld Him. It's as though you can see God rolling up His sleeves and saying, no one else will do it, and so I am going to have to do it. I am going to have to come in righteousness and in justice to bring salvation. He saw that there was no man and was astonished that there was no one to intercede. And then His own arm brought salvation, and His own righteousness upheld Him. He put on righteousness like a breastplate. God says, no one can do it. No one is able. No one is there to save. I must put on the breastplate of righteousness and come myself. Verse 17, He put on righteousness like a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on His head. Who is it that puts on the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation? It is God who does that. This is what the text is telling us. And He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped Himself with zeal like a mantle. If judgment and justice is going to come, I must put on righteousness as a breastplate and a garment of vengeance, and I must come, and I must take on that task myself, says the Lord God. Verse 18, according to their deeds, so He will repay. Wrath to His adversaries, recompense to His enemies. To the coastlands He will make recompense, so they will fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. And He will come like a rushing stream, which the wind of the Lord drives. He will come. This was His promise. And then notice the very next words in Isaiah, verse 20. A Redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, declares the Lord. And who is the Redeemer? It is none other than Jesus Christ the Lord, the second person of the Trinity. And who is it, or by whom is it that you are able to see God act? It is by Jesus Christ that you see God act. It is by Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, that you see God in this world. He is God in the flesh. He is God incarnate. He is the one and only one who can come and bring justice and righteousness. And so in the end, in the text in Isaiah, who is it that puts on the breastplate of righteousness and the girdle of truth? It is Christ. It is Christ the Lord. And He alone is the righteous one and the faithful one and the truthful one. Do you not need Him? And do we not need Him We long for justice and righteousness and truth. And where are we to find it? In Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. And in Him alone, you see. And so the breastplate of righteousness refers to Christ and His righteousness. And the girdle of truth, the helmet of salvation in verse 17, refers to the salvation that comes in Jesus Christ explicitly. See, this is what the text is speaking about. It seems abundantly clear, you see, in the Old Testament here. Well, let's just quickly go back to Isaiah chapter 11 and examine that text. It won't take us very long in Isaiah chapter 11. But let's just read the first five verses in Isaiah chapter 11. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Well, we're talking about Christ again, are we not? This is a text about Messiah. We said this earlier. This is a text about Christ. Verse 3, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eye sees. Oh, he judges the heart. Nor make a decision by what his ears hear. He penetrates the inner being and judges righteously. But with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. It's Christ. The belt of righteousness around the waist. And the faithfulness is the righteousness of Christ. And the faithfulness of Christ. How good this is, friends. You see, because now, go back to Ephesians, if you will. Ephesians chapter 6. Paul, going back to the Old Testament and understanding what this righteousness, what this truth, what this salvation actually is, speaks to you and me. Verse 14 again. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. Well, who is the ultimate truth? Christ. And if you're to gird your loins with truth, friends, it's trusting Christ. In His truth. That's what Paul is after here. He's not after you doing something. He's after you resting in Christ, who has done everything, who is the truth. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. How do you put on the breastplate of righteousness? Say, I defy you, and I defy myself. To be righteous enough to ward off every dart of the evil one. But Christ has already. He is the victor. The point is, trust Christ and His righteousness, and you have the breastplate of righteousness because you stand in Him. It's been done. It's been accomplished in the work of Jesus Christ. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You want to be properly shod for walking in this life? Trust Christ. That's the objective. That's what the Apostle Paul is after. In addition, taking up the shield of faith. Often, we are in the posture. Are you like me in this regard? Struggling at times, doubting at times. Christ, utterly perfect in His faithfulness to the Father. And what is the shield of faith? Trusting in what Christ has already accomplished on your behalf, in His utter faithfulness in all that He did in accomplishing the will of God and doing it on your behalf. And take the helmet of salvation. What is the helmet of salvation? The work of Christ accomplished in Him. That gospel work already done in Him. Trusting again His work. How are we to stand? How are you to stand against the wiles of the devil? Put up your dukes. It's not going to happen, is it? But Christ has already vanquished the enemy. It is done. It is written large in the words of the Savior before He breathed His last. It is finished. And He is the conqueror and the victor. Yes. Put on the whole armor of God, friends. Believe in Jesus Christ and what He has done. That's the armor. And if you stand in this life, you stand because of the righteousness of Christ. And if you stand in this life, you stand because of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. He has done it, and He has done it for you. Trust Him. That is your armor. Let's pray together. Father, thank You. Thank You for Your grace. We are unworthy of that which You have been pleased to do for us and to give to us. We thank You for this armor. And we see it plainly in Your word that it is truly God's armor that You give to us in Christ. And so as we are before You tonight, clothe us in Jesus Christ, we pray. Forgive us of our sins, which are many and great. And grant to us, Father, that by Your grace, understanding Your word, we might live for You. Not because there's the ability to do so within us, but because everything is in Christ and what He has done for us. Thank You that this is the case. And bless us with this understanding, we pray. In the good name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen.